Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and one needs all of that when you have such a long gospel. But what a wonderful story. And that's the thing. Sometimes we have so many words in church, don't we? A lot of words. And so I'm always struck at the beginning of the Lenten services when we sit and listen to some quiet, some music, and chant slowly and softly the Kyrie, because it seems like there are less words all of a sudden. But in the midst of all those words today, we mustn't lose the fact of what we just heard. What's overlooked often is that this interaction, in fact, all of the interactions that I just read, are conversations. They're conversations between the woman and Jesus, between the disciples and Jesus, and between all of the woman's friends and neighbors afterwards. They're not just lighthearted chatter like we might have at the coffee shop or on the street corner. They're actual conversations. And conversations matter for theology. Conversation is essential for faith. And so often today in our world, we hear the statements, "I'm right, you're wrong, so there." We're living in a time when conversation needs to be cultivated and valued and participated in. Because we hear so much about fake news and about what is supposedly true and what is not true and what you should think and how it doesn't matter what you say, I will think what I will think. But good conversation needs to be practiced and pursued, longed for and lived. Because without real conversation, we lack intimacy, we lack understanding, we lack connection, and we lack empathy. Without real conversation, we risk detachment and distance. It's no wonder that Jesus engages in and insists on conversation when it comes to believing. After all, he could have just performed a miracle and walked away. But he didn't. He took the time with the woman of Samaria. In John's gospel in particular, believing is about relationship. And so it's important that conversations happen. And Jesus reveals himself to the woman of Samaria, of all people, a woman who had five husbands, a woman of Samaria, someone he should not even have been talking to. But that's who he says, "I am the Messiah." Their conversation shows what true relationship can look like. It's mutual, reciprocal, and has open regard for one another. We in the church have an opportunity, especially in this day and age, to show what good conversation can look and sound like. The church can be the place that demonstrates how dialogue about faith and the Bible could actually result in religious tolerance and acceptance and respect. But what would that look like exactly? Well, this conversation between Jesus and the woman of the Samaritan woman at the well provides an outline for us. It shows us exactly what some kind of conversation like that would look like. First of all, a true conversation needs to begin with mutual vulnerability. Jesus is thirsty, and he doesn't have a bucket, and she needs water that only Jesus can have. He has it. He's got the living water. She's got the bucket and the well. He's got the living water. They are both vulnerable in that moment, and they share that with each other. That's where truthful conversation has to start, from a place of reciprocal vulnerability, from a space that recognizes that each of the people involved risks being known and seen for who they are. I suspect that very few conversations actually begin with the expectation of vulnerability. But we, as people of faith, need to start there, because it's a fundamental characteristic of the God that we believe in. Second, questions are critical. to conversation. Have you ever had a conversation with someone, perhaps you've just met them or perhaps not, and they never ask a question about you? They're clearly not interested in who you are. It's rather irritating, don't you find? And they're not questions. The questions have to be good questions, not just ones based that the person has already figured out what the right answer is. Like, how are you? Fine, you're great. Good, moving on. I did that once when I was a young, newly ordained person, which is a long time ago now, which is why I'll never forget it. I was biking quickly from the hospital to a very important meeting, I'm sure, at the cathedral. A parishioner was walking along the street, and I waved and said, "Hi, how are you?" as I'm biking along. She said, "Well," and I said, "Great, see you later," and kept going. What I found out later was she was leaving the hospital having just received a diagnosis of breast cancer. Now you know why I've never forgotten it. She needed to have a real conversation, and I was not there. I was not present. So the questions need to actually be real questions that communicate curiosity in the other person, a longing for understanding, not just information. The woman at the well is full of questions, thoughtful questions, questions that matter. And they lead Jesus to reveal to her who he really is. He then can show himself. He affirms questions and even invites them. God wants us to ask questions because questions, real questions, strengthen relationships. Conversations for the sake of intentional and genuine interest take time. They cannot be rushed like my bicycle incident. They take time because there's going to be moments of misunderstanding. This morning after 8 o'clock, Wilson and Eduardo, who many of you know, who are members of our parish, were at the 8 a.m. service and came to coffee. Wilson speaks Spanish and French and is learning English. Eduardo speaks Spanish, French, and English. And so it's very complicated when you get a group of people at the coffee shop after to have a conversation. It gets very confusing, and there's a lot of misunderstanding and fortunately a lot of laughter, because one never knows who's speaking English, French, or Spanish at any given moment. And it could lead to great misunderstanding, but if we take time to make sure that we've understood someone, that is real conversation. Because the Samaritan woman is first confused by Jesus' offer of water, but she doesn't let that stop her or end the conversation. It's much like God. God is willing to hang in there and to keep listening even when we are just blathering on. To keep on exposing God's heart, because that's what God does for us, so it can be seen for the abundant love it holds for us, even if it seems like we're not making sense when we're talking. When it comes to a conversation with Jesus or about Jesus, we need to expect to be surprised. We need to expect God to reveal something about God's self that we've never seen before. The unnamed woman at the well is the first one to whom Jesus reveals his identity, the first I am in the Gospel of John. He doesn't tell the other Jewish leaders, or even his disciples at that point, but to a religious, social, and political outsider. That's who God is for. Because God loves the whole world. Not just us sitting here this morning, but the whole world, no matter what people believe, no matter what they think. And so we should be surprised sometimes about what happens when those conversations take place. And the final characteristic of a theological conversation is to anticipate being changed in the process. The woman at the well goes from shame to witness, from dismissed to disciple, from alone to being a sheep of Jesus' own fold. That's what good conversation can do for us. It can change us dramatically. In Advent, we had a service here, a Eucharist for the women of the well and the staff, and had not happened in a long time, and it was a beautiful service. And there were about, 20 people here. And that happened on a Thursday morning, because that's when the women of the well gather with their deacon, Christine, and that's their spiritual time together. A conversation happened at the end of that service, where one of the women approached Christine and myself and said that she would really like to have her grandchild baptized. So Christine and I kind of talked, and Christine said, well, I guess that would mean they would have to come to church on Sunday. And I said, no, absolutely not. And Christine looked a little shocked. She's been ordained a few less years than I have, but still, because that's really kind of the rule, is that you go to church. And I said, well, yes, except that your community is, your spiritual community is the Women of the Well, gathered on Thursday morning with you, Christine. That is your community. That is when you gather. That is your main service of the week, even if it's not an official church service. So if you would like to be have your grandchild baptized, and the girl is 8, so it's not like she was a baby, Christine, you prepare the child, and we'll find a Thursday morning that works. Well, I didn't think about what March 16th was, being a Lent day as well, so all the rules, pretty much, that one would think of, were slightly changed. But that's because of a conversation. A conversation that made it very clear that although we have guidelines and rules, we didn't actually truly break any of them, except maybe the seasonal one. But we gathered at the main service of a community that helped raise this child. So on Thursday at 10:30 in the morning, we had a baptism up in the chancel, and there were 40 people there. And also, of course, because it was an 8-year-old who wasn't used to coming on Sundays, we need to change the language. Have you read the baptismal service lately? Asking a child if they will do all those things? And fortunately, the Church of England has thought of this. And they have a beautiful, simplified baptismal service that is gorgeous. And what was fascinating to me is with 40 people, many of them church, many of them not, gathered around Emma at the font, there were tears in people's eyes. It was beautiful. And I thought, wow, now there's a conversation that happened that I did not start, but I participated in, and so did other people. And look what happened. It changed Emma's life. She will never forget that day, and neither will I, and probably the other 39 people won't either. That's what a true conversation does. It challenges us to take a risk, maybe to bend a few rules, maybe to be vulnerable, maybe to open up, and maybe to learn something, and definitely to be surprised. That space is the kind of conversation that we are all encouraged by today's gospel to participate in. So, let's start talking.